Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, boys, I know it's the hated San Antonio Spurs, but I got a story for you that's pretty cool. I retweeted it, and I liked it. But we all know the Spurs are playing the Rockets tonight, right? So typical protocol for the visiting team is they head over to the arena at Toyota Center for a shoot-around, unless it's a back-to-back. Then they got the whole day getting ready for a game. But if it's not a back-to-back, then they get in last night. They do shoot-around probably between 10 and 11 in the morning, sometimes as late as 12, for an hour. And then they're on their own until the buses leave and they get ready to go to the game. But the buses normally drive right by Root Memorial Park, which is right across the street from Toyota Center, where there is a full-court basketball court, lights, very cool setup. Evidently, when the Spurs were driving by on their way to shoot-around, LaMarcus Aldridge peered out to find out that one of the kids on the court shooting around had his jersey on. After practice was over, after shoot-around was over, instead of going back with the team, he walked back so that he could go onto the court, meet the kid, shake his hand, and hang out with him because he thought it was cool in an opposing city to see his jersey. You don't see a lot of players doing that stuff. That's
super cool.
That's pretty cool stuff.
That kid is an a-hole. I want you to know right now.
Being a and there are going to be some of you that think
that. Get out of my city, kid.
Yeah, there's going to be some of you that think that way. There's no doubt about it. Kurt Lowe.
This is H-Town, not Spurs Town, not S-Town, not S-A Town, H-Town.
Kurt Lowe would be the first one to tell you after having some evil name.
That was probably Kurt Lowe's Aldridge. Kid. It was probably Kurt Lowe's kid.
Oh, no, not in anything but red and white.
I noticed that you liked and retweeted it. One of the things I did notice on his Twitter profile was the fact that he just put pro basketball player and not, you know, player for the San Antonio Spurs.
Well, that might tell you about his level of happiness with the team that he picked.
Yep.
You know? Never know. In fact, if you look at trade rumors, there are people saying the Spurs really should consider trading Aldridge.
Now,
it's like, what?
Okay, but here's, okay, let me throw this out for you. And again, we're talking about a hated situation because it is the Spurs. Would you be willing to trade
everyone?
No. I can make this go almost one for
everyone.
One for one.
Who?
Would you be willing to trade Aldridge for Boogie Cousins?
Oh.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing
something. I thought
because
you were
talking about Cousins needing a disciplinarian.
I thought you were picking a Rocket.
No. Nick brought up the point that on his Twitter account, it doesn't even say who he plays for.
Right.
Would you, if you're a Spurs fan or otherwise, would you do that move? We say that Boogie Cousins, most talented big man maybe on the planet right now, definitely in the NBA, but it's an issue of he's got to play for a disciplinarian, someone he respects, winning environment. Tell you what, it looks like that says Spurs all day, every day for me. Man, and if Aldridge truly wants to go and you really want to get him back, how'd Sacramento treat you? That would be, ooh, baby, that'd be a little bit of a culture shock.
Man, why would you punish him like that? Send him to Sacramento.
Because you're the Spurs, and if you don't want to play for the Royal Spurs, then we'll send you on your way. It's like Nick Saban or anybody else. You don't want to play for us? Well, guess what? Here, enjoy
Cleveland.
Ooh.
But
they're winning. Enjoy Walla Walla, Washington or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Pop's not the only disciplinarian in the NBA, though. I mean, granted, they're few and far between, but you can send him out to
Minnesota.
I'm
not saying he's the only
Thibodeau.
One, but there's not that many, and it's not definitely not as many as you think. Even all the new wave, young, talented coaches coming in this league, few and far between that are going to get in someone's face or tell them no or stand up to them in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I mean, you get too many guys that become too player-centric, and then the players start walking all over him.
I don't know that the Spurs want to be that organization that goes from Tim Duncan to Boogie Cousins and with a LaMarcus
Aldridge
transition.
It just depends on evaluating where you are. Do you feel like this is a championship caliber roster right now? Then you can hold tight and just tinker a little bit with some of the side pieces. But if you say, hey, maybe we don't have what we thought we had, is this the guy you build around along with Kawhi Leonard to say, we can start restructuring the entire roster because we got the best big man in the league if we just keep his head on straight?
I'm guessing Pops doesn't want to go through that. That would just be a pure guess and speculation on my part.
It's definitely going to be a lot more work.
Pops like, man, I don't want that.
Yeah, at this stage in his career, been there, done that, he probably wants a veteran like Aldridge who comes in, doesn't say much, even if he's not happy, and just does his job.
Yeah.
But to my point, like, look, you know, J.B. Bickerstaff last year, he was the guy that everybody wanted. And all the players kept saying, we want a young guy who gets it. He wants to be our coach. Then Dwight Howard has a birthday party, and he ends up drinking with the players, dancing with the players, videos out all over on the internet with the players. And from a player's perspective, trying to find out, is J.B. going to be a disciplinarian? Is J.B. going to be a tough guy? How's J.B. going to be? And all of a sudden, he's one of the fellas hanging out, drinking and dancing. And from that point on, everybody was like, oh, we got this. It's cool. He's not going to be disciplinary for anybody. Yeah. And you lose your locker room from the standpoint of discipline. Now, you might get, you know, you may maintain them from a basketball perspective, drawing up X's and O's. But when it comes down to, as everybody knows, there's going to be times in the season you got to put your foot down, you got to be a disciplinarian. They're not going to respect that if you're out there cutting rug and tipping them back.
So how much, to take it back full circle,
okay,
how much does this, how big of an impact is Clint Capela going out for 6 weeks? How big of an impact is it to the Rockets? I think that what could be a bigger, where you'll see it the most is obviously on the pick and roll. And does that affect their outside shooting?
You're talking about offensively?
Yep.
I don't think this does anything to them offensively. I think that the two, where it hurts them the most is at least you had one guy spry enough to play both ends of the floor and play the speed they want to play, but could hold down the fort in the paint, right? Spread his wingspan, block some shots, alter the ones he can't block, and get you some rebounds. And on the offensive end, get those putbacks and second chance opportunities that Anderson's not getting on the offensive end because he's on the perimeter. And no one else is really. Decker's basically your best chance for an offensive rebound or a long rebound off the front of the rim that James gets. So where you're really going to miss Capela the most is your defense, your interior defense, and then on the offensive end, second chance opportunities and offensive rebounds, because they're going small enough as it is that that's where you're really going to feel it.
When you look at the next five games, yep, I only see two teams that are something to be a team that's worried about with the absence of Capela. So you got Spurs, Suns, Grizzlies, Suns again, and Mavericks. Those three of those teams, or one team are playing twice, but three of those games should be completely winnable, and the Suns and the Mavs.
Yeah, my concern,
though, the Spurs and the Grizzlies, though, those are two teams.
Time out before you write off the Suns, too. The Suns have Tyson Chandler. They have Alex Lynn. They have some big bodies. And then around them, they have nothing but the same thing the Rockets have. Young gazelle legs that want to get up and down. So they could end up a game that they should control. These were the games we talked about early in the year. These are the games you're supposed to win, and they've been doing that. But these are a game that might be closer than you think because of the fact that without Clint, now the team's going to expose the weakness that they have that they might have an advantage with, which is maybe they've got some bigs that can score now.
Yeah.
And don't underestimate what the impact that Clint Capela is having, though. If you look at that PER stat, which is supposed to be kind of an over, almost like a war for basketball, where it takes into account all of the statistics that a player produces, combines them into one rating for a player, and the guys that are leading the NBA in PER are guys like Westbrook and Harden and you know, Durant. These are the kind of guys that rank the highest. Capela's PER is 20, which is second on the Rockets. So he brings a lot to this team,
intangible,
outside of just scoring. Yep. And what concerns me is, one, I think you're going to see, you know, we talk about the points in the paint and how it has a lot to do with the pick and roll and layups. And I think you're going to see that start to go down. And I think,
but will he be missed more against a team like the Spurs, or will he be missed more against a team like the Suns?
I think both. It doesn't matter because they still run that pick and roll. They rely on that because that sets up a lot of what these outside shots are. Because if you watch James Harden, they'll start to set up that pick and roll, but I guess based off the play that D'Antoni has, they'll make it look like they're going to run pick and roll, and then he'll either just drive directly or he'll dish, and they'll move the ball around the outside and at the perimeter. So I think that it's going to have a bigger impact because you don't have to respect it as much if Nene is on the other end of the pick and roll, right? Like you don't have to slump off because you're worried about Nene dunking it on you in the pick and roll. I don't think that now Harrell is a different story. He's closer to what Capela gives you.
He's a great fit for this offensive system because it's so up-tempo and he's so athletic. And from a defensive perspective, he's still got some range, some length, some size. He's going to get more minutes, and I think he knows what he can do with it.
And he reminds me a lot of Capela like last year or the year before in development. He's raw.
Just not as tall.
Not as tall.
Or the wingspan, but more athletic.
Yeah, and just as raw, but you can see the potential of what he could do, right? Yeah. I don't think he'll be a starter, but I think he can play plenty of minutes, in the future. But what concerns me is, and this sounds silly, but watch what happens to James Harden's numbers over the next 6 weeks. I would venture to say you may not see a triple-double because a lot of his assists come off that pick and roll. So
I think a lot of them come out for kickouts,
we'll see.
Though.
We'll see.
A lot of dribble penetration.
We'll see.
And he kicks to the perimeter in the corners.
You could count at least 3 to 4 a night.
Oh, but definitely the pick and roll that turns into an alley-oop at the 10 is what Capella lives on.
And there's 3 or 4 of those a night. Yeah. And so you might see a dip in Harden's numbers, which doesn't translate into wins or losses. But I'm just saying that MVP run, you know, he might cool down a little bit.
Because you can tell Harden likes Capella.
He loves it.
He loves it. He loves it.
It's important to be liked by the guy that's in charge of serving the dinner.
Exactly.
So I think, a lot of people say, they've got Nene, they've got Harrell, but I think Capella's going to have a bigger impact on this Rockets team over 6 weeks than people are saying. And when you read the articles, they say, know, it's pick and roll. Anyone can run it. Well, okay, we'll see. We're going to find out.
The reason why I didn't say too much is because I didn't want to be considered bitter. But the reason why I said this is the first bit of adversity, let's see how they handle it, is because this is a bigger injury, even though it's a smaller fracture. It's a bigger injury than you may think for exactly what Barry was talking about. All the intangibles and the things that he brings on top of being your best post defender and your best line of defense at the rim, which may be your only line of defense at the rim, it could be a huge factor.
Yeah, I think he's young. He'll be back fast.
We got a text that asked, does Joel still work for the Rockets or has he moved on from that part of his career? That was from Ben the Skeleton. No, Joel does not work for the Rockets.
That's right. That's correct. Let me throw this out for you guys. I'm going to throw you cities in the nation. I'm going to tell you if any of them imposes kind of fear.
Oh.
And we still got to get to
I thought you were going to say, would any of these cities let some kid wear a jersey from another city and think that's okay?
Okay, would you be scared, worried, or have concerns, or would you be flat out impressed?
Oh,
if I just rattled off Minnesota, New Orleans, Sacramento, Brooklyn, Dallas, Oklahoma City, L.A., Boston, Denver, Golden State. Put that in NBA perspective. Put it in your blender, and we'll digest it in a minute. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4 o'clock. And this holiday season, I want to make sure that you guys do your part to help spread unstoppable joy. And all you got to do is visit a Finish Line store in the Houston area. For the fifth year, Finish Line is the premium athletic shoe and apparel retailer in the malls and all over cities nationwide. They're partnering with Special Olympics. There's over 5 million athletes in Special Olympics who are competing every day in 170 countries worldwide. These inspiring and fierce competitors, they defy stereotypes, they break down barriers to be included and play sports. It's a very, very cool thing. You can shop at your local Finish Line store or online at finishline.com. And when you're checking out, all you got to do is donate to Special Olympics. But the clock's running out. Game is on. Visit Finish Line now until December 24th to make a difference and help spread unstoppable joy this holiday season. You can shop the latest styles from Nike, Adidas, Brand Jordan, all your favorite brands at a newly remodeled store for Finish Line like Pearland Town Center or at a mall near you. Or you can just shop online at finishline.com. But the key is, when you realize all the things you're thankful for this holiday season and all the things that you have for you and your family, give back a little joy. Donate to Special Olympics. It'll make you feel better. I guarantee it. All right. So before the break, I was reading off cities, right?
Yep.
I throw that out because I'm going to be now the person that everybody thinks I always am. But I'm going to tell you that the Rockets' 10-game winning streak, aside from the first one and the last one, just aren't that impressive to me. I mean, yes, they're doing what they're supposed to do. In the NBA, you're supposed to. There are teams on the schedule you know you're supposed to beat, and they're beating them, right? The double overtime win in Golden State to start the streak, absolutely impressive. Taking a team that's a championship-caliber team that's added Kevin Durant, you win on their floor. Great, great win. But then Denver, Boston, the Lakers, OKC in a game that you tried to give away every which way but lose but won. Dallas sucks. Brooklyn's terrible. Sacramento's bad. New Orleans is bad. And the other one I give you big credit for is this Minnesota game because back-to-back, flight to Minneapolis, get in late, freezing temperatures, everybody's tired. Basically a tough place to play, losing the whole game, can't make a shot. You find a way to force overtime, get a win. I like the Golden State win. I like Minnesota. Other than that, I'd say the top upper echelon teams in this league would all say that's what you're supposed to do. This next stretch is going to be a little bit more interesting. And, Nick, you said five, but if you go farther than that and you just say coming up, San Antonio and then Phoenix, you're supposed to be. Memphis is a tough grinding team. Phoenix again. Dallas sucks. But then the Clippers, the Knicks who can go big and you don't have Capella. Washington, who basically gave you a handful and can play because they've got some size. Oklahoma City, who you've been in dogfights with the entire time. Then Orlando and Toronto on the backside. Those are games. This next stretch of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 games could dictate a lot to how much the Rockets are able to hang on to without Clint Capella.
Yeah, you are making me mad.
Now, I've got to call you on something here.
Go ahead.
Because
I was going to too, but you go first.
Okay. Because since this season started,
yep,
you have been harping on the fact that this is a team in the past.
Oh, they're never winning games. Yep.
Let me finish.
Yeah, you're right.
That never won the games they're supposed to win. And then at one point during this season, you were giving them credit for beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
I still give them that.
And then, you know, going out and winning games against Golden State and some of the upper echelon teams like they've done. So why are you dogging on their 10 in a row?
You're asking a question. I'm waiting until I get a chance.
Let me finish. Why are you dogging on their 10 in a row? Because what they're doing now is playing the schedule that they've been given when they just had the roughest start on the road that any team has faced in a long time and came through it looking really well. Regardless of who they played, it's road games in the NBA and it's tough. And before I let you respond to all that,
I appreciate you when you do.
You're discounting, whether you know think so or not, you're discounting the win against Los Angeles and Oklahoma City because you're saying, well, you tried to give it away. They beat the Thunder
and they beat
the Lakers, a team that beat them before and that was giving them fits.
I wasn't going to pick on you that much.
You get your chance in a minute. Let me get to this first, okay? Because first of all, the Lakers put a D-League team out there. That wasn't just the Lakers.
They lost to the Lakers early
in
the
season. And I never discounted the fact that I stick with what I've said. They've won games they're supposed to win. What I'm responding to is a deluge of tweets that I get on a regular basis because I'm not ready to anoint this team a championship caliber team yet. The reason why I'm not ready to anoint them is, yes, 10 wins at any time in the NBA is impressive. When you look at the murderer's row of teams they've played, it's not as impressive. It's not. Look, I give them credit, and I've given them credit all season long, but I'm just saying, overall, that it's not as impressive as it sounds like when you go, they've won 10 in a row. Then you look at the teams they've played, and you go, okay. But there's still, it's a long season. That's why all these fans are all pissed off, because I'm not ready to anoint them a championship-caliber team yet. I give them credit for and props for everything they've done to this point, and I stick with what I said. These are games that they would have lost in the past, so those are all huge pluses. But overall, to prove that you're a championship-caliber team, you need to string 10 in which you're sprinkling in more salty opponents. So we'll see. These next 12 games, let's see what they do, and then we'll see where they are from there.
Okay. They went. So you're just picking out those last 10. So let's just say, let's go.
I'm just saying because people are throwing the 10-game winning streak at me.
But I'll give you an example of the previous eight, starting with Golden State and working your way backwards. They went 6-2, beating Portland, Utah, Detroit, Sacramento, Portland again, and Golden State.
Now, would you like me to respond
losing
to that?
Losing to Utah
That's
and Toronto.
That's more impressive to me than the 10 in a row that they've won.
Losing to Utah and Toronto.
That's more impressive to me than the 10 in a row they've won.
But that's what I'm saying. So you can't just base it off of just that 10. They have to play that schedule. Their schedule has been loaded up front. They've had a very difficult schedule, and especially with the amount of road games that they faced early on.
Again, I'm only referring to the last 10 games.
Why do you hate the Rockets, Joel? I'm just kidding. Just joking.
But the only thing, my thing, it was the Boston win. That they don't get much credit
for
the Boston win.
That's the one that I was on the fence about that I will give you. Because Boston probably should be better than they are record-wise. But that's the one that I would say, if I'm going to throw a third one in there, It would either have been Boston or Oklahoma City.
Okay.
That Minnesota win was not impressive to you?
Didn't I just not say that?
Yeah, he said Minnesota. He said Minnesota.
Minnesota was one of the two that was the two bookends. The start of it and the finish of it were very impressive to me.
And the Oklahoma City win wasn't impressive.
I just said if I was going to add a third, it would be the Boston or Oklahoma City.
It was an honorable mention.
The reason why I didn't like the Oklahoma City game is you tried to give it away for the final 3.5 minutes of the game like you did the last time.
But
and
you won.
And I even had all the people that were throwing the streak at me saying, oh, no, here we go again, and you jinxed them, and they're going to do it again. These are things that I said, too, that they have to work on. In order for me to give them their due to say they're a championship-caliber team, clean up how you finish games. You almost blew the Washington game the same way. You blew the first Oklahoma City game the same way.
4 of those 10 were back-to-backs. Well, yeah.
Barry Morey over here is going to continue to do this.
Technically, 2 of the 10 were back-to-backs.
Again, I'm not trying to steal their thunder. I'm just trying to say, look, over the last 10 games, quit throwing the streak at me as a reason why they should be a championship-caliber team. They are who their record says they are. They're a top-5 team right now, and I've said this on Twitter. I don't take that away from them. But in order for me to say, when I look at the playoffs, this is a team that's a championship-caliber team, I need to see some things change.
All right, now I'm going to put you on the spot one more time, and you don't have to answer it until after the break. Are you still saying the pursuit of the 8 seed? Do you still think that they're that bad?
You said I can answer on the end of the break, so take us to break.
I'm not taking us to break. That's your job. I just want to know the answer.
Oh, now I got jobs. Now I got jobs.
They're sitting at 3 right now. Do you think that they stay above 4 or finish below it?
Hey, we got a lot to get to, including Mr. Bandwagon himself, who has become Dr. Phil, questioning me. And we've got Adrian on hold, so we've got plenty to get to.
Look what he wants to talk about.
Joel hating on the Rockets.
Jeez. I opened up my own can of worms. Let's go fishing.
Yes, you did.
ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4. Today on Dr. Phil.
Angel Munoz once tweeted, why does Pac-Man Joe hate the Rockets and Bald Eagles and Chuck Norris and America and Christmas? Should have seen him, Angel, at the break. He punched a baby and it was horrible.
My response to him was?
Snapped the neck of a kitten.
This was right about the time that you were talking about.
Yeah, you said I love the team.
Dak and Zeke being 3rd and 4th in the MVP balloting to Nick Novak.
Now I can go back.
See what we can do.
I can go back and rewind this.
In the break, I said during the breaks.
No proof.
During the breaks, you don't have any proof either.
Chris Davis said he did agree with us on the center position and not having many.
Chris Davis is a loyal Rocket.
Yeah, but he said about not having any pieces to trade. But he said, are the Rockets a top 4 team in the West? Because I asked you that question. Do you think they'll finish 4 and above or below? And he said, are the Rockets are a top 5 team NBA as power ranking show? But I'm saying finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Will they end the season 4 and above or 5 and below?
You guys don't see what I get. This is why these things come up.
Well, you say
I get so much off hours thrown at me. And sometimes people don't like the fact that I answer because they're expecting me to answer the way they want me to answer. Right now, their record states they are a top 5 team in the NBA. I'm not taking anything away from them.
Sure.
But I am not ready to say that this is a title contender team in December when the playoffs don't start till April. And I know, as I mentioned yesterday and in the past, Daryl's going to make at least one move at the deadline. That could either help them now or if it helps them in the future, could hurt them. So I don't know what he's going to do, but I do know Cleveland, Golden State, the Spurs, and the East, Nick, you're right. I mean, Toronto is the only other team that I think puts up any kind of a challenge to Western Conference top 4 or 5 teams.
100%.
I still think the Clippers will straighten it out and get it right, but losing Griffin means how much ground do they lose in a hyper-competitive West that they can't make up to try and get home court? Because for the Clippers, home court is vital to their success in the postseason. And you saw that when they didn't have it and lost the 7-gamer to the Rockets after choking away Game 6. They need Game 7s in their building, and they need home court advantage. So that Griffin injury is going to play big there. That's why the injury to Capella weighs so much, and I want to see how it plays out. I'm not ready to make any decision on this team in the postseason until we get closer to it.
No, I've asked
But I'm giving them full credit right now for being a top-five team.
It's fair. I wouldn't I wouldn't anoint them.
I'm
going to
tell you right now,
either.
If I had to give you my honest opinion between, and I've said the Sonics are the perfect example. The 1 year they got off to such a hot start that they were a top four team, and then they lost in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you right now where I think they're going to finish.
That's and what even I
still,
know.
I know, but even still, I don't know. I could say, well, if I say they're a top four team, that I'm still not guaranteeing they're getting out of the first round.
Well, what about you, Barry? Where do you think they'll finish?
I said before this season started that they would finish fifth, and everyone made fun of me.
I said seven, and now I'm starting to get on that
and
train.
He was pursuit of the eight. They would be eight or nine. So I'm asking, have you changed your mind based on what you've seen?
I have absolutely. I don't know. Look, I will say.
Because I'm sticking by five. I said five.
Whether I change my mind or
I'm
not,
I'm sticking by it.
The answer I will give you is I look wrong right now, for sure, because this team has been impressive for the first quarter of the season. Can they maintain that? I think, as I've laid out several times, health is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And what they do between now and the end of the season in terms of how far can they go. But they've gotten off to such a hot start that I think they are definitely a top five team in the West right now.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, there's injuries and, you know.
What I said right now.
Yeah. Well, and that's fair enough.
But that's basically what he's been saying.
That's what I'm asking. Do you think right now.
I haven't wavered on what I've said, and I've admitted that right now I look wrong on pursuit of the eight. But there's still a lot of season to be played between now and the end of the season to see how they finish. But look, impressive as hell, the start of the season, especially with 14 of the first 20 on the road. Eric Gordon has been better than advertised because remember now, everybody was all hot and bothered that you had to get Ryan Anderson. And then when they signed Eric Gordon, there were a lot of people going, play the same position as Harden. Get him come off the bench. Always hurt. Only one appearance in the playoffs. What's he going to do? So far, in my opinion, he is the MVP other than James Harden on this team. ESPN this morning shows you how much they pay attention. Said it was Pat Beverly, who was hurt most of the first part of the first quarter of the season. I give Pat credit for giving them a defensive boost. One of the guys that's their NBA expert in the morning.
Not the dude with all the chins.
This is the guy with he's got the kicks collection, too. He was talking about Jordans this morning.
But, yeah. I will say this, though. Pat Beverly has won them at least three games with his defense.
No question, but that's not an MVP to me.
In the last week. No, but he's directly responsible for shutting down the team.
Let me ask you guys real quick. Okay, we picked out who our MVP would be. Who's our most disappointing? Because I got mine.
On the Rockets?
On the Rockets. Who's your most disappointing?
Ryan Anderson.
Without question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's safe. That's fair. That's actually more than fair.
Ryan Anderson right now, it just almost looks like you're Brock Osweiler. You're paying him a whole hell of a lot of money for 10 points a game.
It's not that bad.
Not a lot, right. I'm not saying, I said almost. Now hear me out. I said almost, and I did not punch babies or kick anybody in a break.
I totally made that up.
So I know. $20 million a year for 10 points a game and minimal rebounds at the power forward. I would think if he was the perfect fit for the Rockets system, the guy they've always wanted, I would be getting 15 to 20. I don't think that's too much to ask.
Yeah.
More so than anything else, more consistency.
How for the money that? He got. Yeah,
yeah for the money, I would need more consistency. Yeah. Let's talk to Adrian, who also has his barrels loaded. So let's go.
What's up, Joel?
What's up, Adrian? How you doing, man?
What's up, Barry and Nick?
What's up, man?
What up, dude?
All right, Joe. I love the show.
Yep.
And I love you like I love a stepbrother.
Okay.
But come on, man. You're starting to sound like Charles Barkley.
No.
I don't know if Lance owes you any money or not, but come on, Joe. I mean, this team is better than anybody expected. I'll just leave it at that since I'm on the radio. You know?
Don't cuss. Is that it?
Is that it?
Just young up, yeah.
Oh.
I thought he had more.
I thought he dropped the mic on you.
That
was
okay, look.
I mean, I like that he gave you a hard time, but I really thought he was going to bring it more. Even at the risk of cussing. But I think that you are maybe a little harder on the Rockets based just on partially, not, I'd say 5% of the way you are hard on the Rockets is just because you used to work there.
Yeah, because I know more.
And
than,
I know, mean, and I say 5% and I'm basically minimizing, you know, I think a lot of people are blowing it out of proportion. I definitely don't think you're a Charles Barkley type, but I think you may be a little harder on them than say other objective folks that looked at the Rockets.
So, I mean, I've been
close. But you're coming around.
I've been closer than most.
Yeah.
But I said before the season, Harden to be an MVP candidate. I said D'Antoni was the perfect offensive system for this roster. I didn't see him winning as many. I thought the schedule was weighted heavily against him And that was impressive. I love the way they play. But I'm not ready, just like Kurtlow now chiming in.
No, I agree with you. It's early.
I'm not ready to crown them a contender in December. And again, now we're starting to see. Everything's lined up. They've been healthy. Everybody's, you know, loving each other. And you're going to find the NBA season is a long grind, and it's a roller coaster. Yeah. How they persevere through a spurt like now where you're going to be without Capella will say a lot more to me than how impressive the start was. Not that it wasn't impressive, but I got to see it for a full season, and I got to see how it plays out because there's still a lot more obstacles to come by before you even get to the playoffs.
I would agree with that. I mean, you've got to – but you have to take those assessments, and if you look at it objectively, no one can predict the future. So that's all I'm saying is looking at it objectively up until now, you base, you know, what you think the rest of the season is going to play out based on the way they perform right now. And right now, I think they're a top four, top five team in the West.
You want to take Rob first? You want to get to the ultimatum that Barry's got?
We can take Rob. It's up to you guys, really.
What's the ultimatum?
You said it on Twitter.
Oh, the bandwagon?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm sticking by that.
The train's in the station, but it's leaving, and it's the holidays.
And that goes for you, too, Joe.
We'll see.
You won on this
bandwagon. You don't have to warm a seat for me. I'm being honest and objective.
You won on this wagon, son?
No, I'm good.
You better get a ticket.
Yeah, and believe me, if I get a ticket and pay for it, woo! We got problems. Rob, before we get to Barry's ultimatum, you want to talk about the Rockets.
Guys, how are you? I kind of agree that I believe the Rockets are a top four team in the West, but I don't really believe it's because the Rockets are that good. I think with Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors, that it significantly brought down the number of teams that are competitive in the West. You're really looking at Spurs, Warriors. I don't think the Clippers are that good. I think the Wolves are underperforming, and the Grizzlies will never score enough points to be anything in the playoffs. So I really don't think that it's – I mean, the Rockets are top four, but it's not because of their own doing. It's because of the rest of the West. And I also want to ask real quick, I apologize, that I saw that today somebody reported that maybe Tony Allen may be available at the trade deadline. I just see that would be a huge piece that the Rockets could potentially get. I don't know what our trade assets are. Instead of wasting a roster space on somebody like KJ McDaniels, somebody that could really lock down defensively in the playoffs. Appreciate you taking my call, guys.
Good take, Rob. And maybe a perspective we haven't looked at enough.
It was a good okay. I like no. I like the thought that yeah, you have one less team to deal with in the Thunder after Durant left, but to say that there's multiple teams that are weakened because of that, I don't necessarily agree with. And he said that the Wolves aren't playing all that well. He said that they don't look like they're going to they're one of the worst teams in the West right now. But I think you're sleeping on the Clippers. The Jazz are better than expected.
Yep.
And the Thunder, you know, are hanging around. Now, can they? Will they? I don't know. But they certainly have an MVP on the team.
Oh, did you hear that?
I did. I'll isolate that for you.
And I mean, listen, there are, of the top eight teams, there's only one that's sub 500.
West is definitely where it's at.
Yeah.
Right?
And Utah, yeah, absolutely.
And I completely agree. I thought, first of all, if we go down the hall, Raheel and some of those other guys had Minnesota already anointed as like top six.
Yeah.
They got a good roster, young roster, but they're not there yet. Right?
But he makes a good point about the Thunder.
He did make a good point.
That's a great point. That you went from a top four team to a bottom four team. Well, of the eight. And when I say that, they went from being one of the four,
upper echelon of the top eight, to the lower
to now five through eight. And that's a great point.
So, and as before we get to break, because we still have to get to your train.
Yeah. It's a wagon, not a train. Get it right.
Well, it depends. Munaf keeps saying, man up, and I'm beating around the bush and give my opinion. I've given my opinions, and they're not changing. And I've backed up why I've said what I've said. So when he wants to man up and tell me what his opinions are, we can have a discussion. Simple as that.
Bring it. Y'all don't fight. Not in front of the kids.
Remember, it's not an argument if you can have an open discussion. But if you're narrow-minded because you've drank too much red Kool-Aid, we have an argument. That's not so fun.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much, Nicholas. We got one segment to go, and it's been fun. So let's make it a good one. If you guys want to join the show, give us a call, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter, ESPN975.
ESPN. 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right. aside from what makes you sick, you are the conductor. Tell everybody the deal.
So I have opened up seats on the Rockets bandwagon after that glorious, glorious victory over the Wolves. That comeback. That was a beautiful win. Beautiful win.
The big win.
And so after the win, I opened up seats on the official Rockets bandwagon. And I said that I will allow you guys out there to hop on between now and the 26th. They play on the 26th. They play the Phoenix Suns. And at the end of that game, the bandwagon will be closed.
Okay.
And if you are not on board by then, too bad. You are not allowed
not
to
welcome.
Root for the Rockets after that if you are not rooting by then.
Your favorite team's got to be Phoenix, by the way.
So that goes to guys like Mike Liebeschock, who he's not paying attention to basketball at all, much less the Rockets. That goes to your casual football fan who's not paying attention to the Rockets. I'm telling you right now, you've got to get on board with the Rockets before the 26th.
Or watch the train leave the station or right before the new year.
That's it.
Nick, we're going to start getting those woo-woo, getting all the train signs.
Train whistles.
Train whistles and things lined up.
Like I said, it's more of a wagon than a train.
You think
but,
so?
Yeah, it's a band wagon, not a band train.
Get Chuck Hayes on line one. We'll get him. So the Chuck Wagon can talk about it.
Although, you know, if they tank down the stretch, there's going to be tons of sprained ankles from everybody jumping off of the bandwagon.
Oh, yeah. It's Houston.
Yes.
Come on now. But that's why I said Barry's second favorite team has to be Phoenix because it's not their nickname. It's just the way he finishes sentences.
What?
Phoenix, son!
Oh.
Come on, son. That's your team.
Stop it.
You do say son a lot.
A lot.
Come on, son.
Yeah. I don't say son.
Yeah. I say it from time to time.
It's whatever.
Now, the one that we can't because...
It's whatevs, like the kids would say. It's whatevs.
So, Richard Stites, who's a big, I hope, fan of the show, but he follows us and plays along a lot.
Yeah. You're getting the business on
Twitter.
Yeah,
I was getting it from him, and I gave it back.
I'm liking this.
And I gave him his nickname today. Richard is Dick. So he said I rubbed Dick the wrong way today. So
wow.
I told him, wait, you've got to hear this story then before the end of the show because it's one we're going to bring up earlier, but we should get to now. And Barry, since you are the master of social media such things, maybe you can even retweet it. If you missed it, the San Diego Chargers had a home game this weekend. And you know how the security people are spread out on the sidelines to make sure – you know, order is kept.
Yeah.
There was some major order.
Sure people aren't out there.
Being kept.
Jerking around.
Whoa. Exactly what I'm getting to.
Hey-o.
So, supposedly, fans in the stands were disturbed when looking down at the field from their seats to find what I would guess to be, and you guys can support me or not, but I would guesstimate early 20s security man on the sidelines within 10 feet of a cheerleader. Hand in his pocket, and he wasn't looking for change.
He's got one hand in his pocket, and the other one is giving a peace sign.
Thank you, Alanis.
he's got one hand in his pocket.
And the other one's playing with his peace sign.
And the other one is holding his wrist, trying to hide it. That's what he's doing.
Safe to say, there's a whole lot of action going on below the equator.
You know, I've always
heard... And he's
heard...
in a position of authority.
I've always heard of pocket pool. This guy is definitely running the table.
He's running the table, and there's no doubt that he's
got
the cue ball.
He's not even hiding it.
No.
At all.
And Nick and I were talking about it. Not that he's reeling in tens, but this guy looks like he's fully capable.
He's young.
Yeah.
He's not going to be dating the hottest of the hottest, but he's young. And the fact that he's doing it with 68,000 people in attendance, he didn't think someone was going to catch
him. No one's looking.
Yeah.
Unreal if you look at the video. I felt bad for the cheerleader that fell and hit her forehead last night. And then I saw this video and felt, wait till she sees what she was the object of, thanks to the security guy. Now, supposedly these fans were actually calling the front office during the game and calling people in the stadium, trying to make people pay attention and do something about it. I can only hope that something was done before he was. That's all I can say.
So I found that there's a ton of sites that are carrying this, but I chose Deadspin because usually the comments on Deadspin are without a doubt
They're pretty funny.
The best that you'll find on the internet. So that's the one I tweeted. And can I tell you that the best comment, you know, they'll give like stars or thumbs up.
Right.
So if you've seen the video or if you haven't, it's the dude, he's standing kind of like, you know, arms in front. Like, you know how some guys will stand, they'll put their arms down and one over the other kind of grabbing his wrist. But one hand is in the pocket and it is playing pool. And so he's got the other hand on his wrist and somebody, so, you know, hand in the pocket. And they said that he's with the Elite Security. That's the name of the security company that provides security for the Chargers. They're called Elite Security. So this guy's comment was, hey, I know people keep calling this guy Elite, but he gets in all sorts of trouble when he gets out of the pocket.
That's your guy. You know who sent that right?
That is a beautiful,
look at the picture. You know who sent that. It's your boy Trey.
No, that's not Trey. Says Tom Lay. This is on Deadspin.
Trey just put he works for Elite Security because he's solid outside the pocket.
See, that doesn't, he tweeted I don't us. Know that. That doesn't.
Trey, our intern, just tweeted us that.
Trey, stop stealing jokes.
So
from
essentially, what he's doing is plagiarizing off of Deadspin.
Yeah, stop
have
stealing
we
jokes.
Trey
from Deadspin.
Plagiarizing?
Wow, we busted Trey. Our intern stable, by the way.
Oh God, Shay's coming
as
in here, brace,
shady and suspect as any. Yuli, before that, the mad spelling bee between Trey and Raj. I mean, I see that we're out there looking, actively looking for new interns, and people want them to come from U of H. Just come from a background where you have some grammatical knowledge and some grasp of the English language.
Here's the thing. Like, what, for this video, what possesses someone to think that this is going to be okay? And
you know
and
what
not-
possesses them?
And not get in trouble.
The
number
monster
one,
in his pants that does the nasty dance. That's what possesses
number
him.
Number one, I don't even know, like, there's, I don't know if you've looked at cheerleaders in the NFL lately. Most of them aren't that hot. I mean, the NFL cheerleaders has gone the
okay, now.
I am more into the college basketball
NFL cheerleaders
oh,
have gone the way.
Are you now?
Yeah.
NFL cheerleaders have gone the way of the Hooters girl. In that they've really lowered the standards,
but you know why?
Quite a bit
because you can't even see them perform on a football field.
I thought you were talking about the Hooters girls.
No, that's just a genuine answer. Like you can't even see them.
Yeah,
on the field.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like
they put them in. Well, now with the jumbotrons and stuff, they do their performances in the end zones during like the 2 minute break for each half.
I'm just saying, if I'm gonna go all out in front of 65,000 folks and get my freak on with myself, it's not going to be because I'm looking at a cheerleader.
Feel the world. Make it a better place. Okay. So we've had fun. We had a good show. A good run on a holiday week. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it too. Hope Dick doesn't get too butthurt and comes back to Richard tomorrow. But we will be here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And by the way, Friday's our big holiday Christmas party at Nick's place. We're all going to be there, so why don't you too? But don't, Barry, don't be surprised. We just found out too during the show.
He found out on Twitter, literally.
Yeah, I found out on Twitter.
I am not going to be there.
Okay, well, Barry won't, but a lot of us will. And so if you want to hang out in person with the staff and check
it
all out,
it'll be fun.
Come on over to Nick's place.
Yeah.
I know Trap's just worried about the fact that they got food, but we'll see. Hey,
good food too.
Stop in on Friday at Nick's place. Otherwise, keep listening to the show. We appreciate what you bring to the table every single day, and your participation is always appreciated. ESPN 97.5. Stay tuned for the Blitz. Here's Fred and AJ coming up next.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.